Most of us probably have heard that expression, which came from Matthew 7, the Gospel of Matthew 7, in the Christian Bible, verse 7 to 8. Ask, and you shall receive. It's a biblical promise, it's a famous biblical promise, which encourages persistent prayer and faith, assuring that those who ask, seek, and knock will receive. Find and have doors open for them. It emphasizes that God provides good gift to those who ask. Often interpreted as the aligning personal desires with divine will. Well, that's not me who said that. That's from Wikipedia. Now let's go to our conversation. This could happen to any of us. This is true conversation. We're having conversation with that divinity within us. And that divinity is called God. The conversation starts like this. I am confused about the ask and you shall receive thing. I'm sure we've all gone through that. And this is the divinity not speaking. God, about what specifically are you confused about? Money. Because everybody recognizes money, even the saints. Then this is Spirit speaking. But you have plenty of money. Yes. Yet I want to have all I will ever need and live like the wealthy. Does that sound familiar? Some of us saying that. Then do it. So is that simple? Yes, yet I recall you praying for happiness. This is God still talking to us. The last time I heard you were praying for happiness, now you're talking about. Yes, but with more money, I can do whatever I want. You can do whatever you wish now, and you can be happy regardless of how much money you have. I know, but I still want more for insurance. Money is not your insurance. I am. Are you sure that's what you want? Because that's what we call misplaced priority and identity when you think money is your assurance. When God says, I am, I'm your insurance. Are you sure that's what you want? I want to have great prosperity. Doesn't that include money? This is us talking. It does not have to. Yeah, you can include money. Yet, I still want to live simply and have lots of loving relationships and friends. So now what do I do? Nothing. It is now clear to the universe what you desire, and so it is. That's God putting that decree on it. Once God decreed it, that's it, nothing can change that. But that's not all I desire. Once we hear God saying, well, that, okay, that's not all I desire. What else? I desire to be blissfully happy, to do what I love to do in service to humanity, and to be healthy right to the moment in old age where I drop the body like a silk robe with total consciousness. Doesn't that sound like what most of us are talking about? Let me repeat that because it sounds so familiar to me. I desire to be blissfully happy, to do what I love to do in service to humanity, and to be healthy right to the moment in old age where I drop the body like a silk robe with total consciousness. Did we even see how we put silk there? Okay. Now God says, very well, you chose wisely, and so it shall come to pass. Now we're saying, now what? And God says, trust in me, and I will bring you what you need. That's all those things you just said, okay? Okay, it does feel wonderful to trust you. Don't we say that sometimes when things are going well for us? Yeah. I know, and I feel your gratitude. All ignorance disappears upon knowing the truth. Remember that I am infinite. So why will I not give you whatever you desire? What could I lose by giving it to you? When I am giving it to myself, this is God saying that. Whenever God blesses us, he says, look, you are part of me. No matter how far you run, where are you going to run that I'm not there? So when I bless you, I'm blessing myself. And if any of you recall, I've said this before in the past. Praying for others is a selfish thing. Because when you pray for others, it is yourself you pray for. Because whatever energy goes out, it has to return. It comes back to the sender. Haven't we had a return to sender? So now this is God affirming that. What could I lose by giving to you whatever you desire? When I'm giving it to myself, big self. As such, why wouldn't I provide you whatever you desire? Then we say, I guess you would. Precisely, God says, one need not worry, money or no money. They should first recognize I am infinite and consider what that truly means. They imagine whatever they will, and their prayer will not be denied. If we can connect to that God in order to say, I am, the big I am, infinite. There's no limitation, no boundaries. It's like going into the void. There are no boundaries. You are not limited because that's where everything gets created and everything flows. And that's why Jesus can say something and it will happen. Baba Ji and all this. Because now they recognize that. God is the infinite, the I am, and they are one with that. So, and that's why you will hear someone like Sri Yukteswar say, when Baba Yogananda pointed to him, Master, look at that little thing, it's going to fall from the roof in my injury. And Sri Yukteswar said, not as long as I'm alive, it's not going to happen. He didn't fix it, and the thing never did anything. Now, maybe after he passed on, the thing dropped. Because that's what it takes. That's what a master does. That's what someone who's self-realized, who lives in that enlightenment. Sometimes I wonder, what's the difference between great masters and those the world has called magicians? I'm not talking the one who use hefty hands. Where when they say to universe, it happens. Because during my own training, one of the things you quickly learn is that you must have that faith and you must go for it. And you must be persistent. How many of us can stay on one thing we want? Let's even say for 7 days, without missing a word, for 7 days, around the clock, and knowing that it will happen. In the training, it takes, it's the same energy. We should always recognize that. The I am is always present. It does not diminish. The same energy you will use to manifest $5 is the same energy you can use to manifest $500,000. It is that knowing that nothing is impossible for the I am, and that I am is in you. All the galaxies, all the planets is inside of you, and you are at the center of your own universe because you are connected to the I am. That's what God is saying here. When you are connected to that infinite I am, if you say it, it's going to happen. And that's why we say, well, if you are just being a comedian, you better phrase it in a way, because if you say the universe will respond, because once you are one with that, everything in creation works in harmony with you, in that perfection. And that's why I say, I am infinite. So he said, this is spirit saying, precisely, one need not worry, money or no money. I don't think Babaji was carrying money around. Did we hear about Jesus carrying money? When they need it, it will happen. And I grew up in that household. My father never had a bank account. So where is he going to go keep the money under the mattress? When it's time for us to go to boarding school and all of that, well, he asked the one who sent him. And then the money will start showing up. It could be one of the members of the church who is traveling all of a sudden, because I witnessed that firsthand. He's supposed to go somewhere. It's like going to New York and you divert the plane to come to Oregon. Say, oh, Father, I just want to see you. But you were just here not long ago. Well, so Father blessed. And what did he do? He gave Father some money. That covers my school fees and my boarding and all of that. So why does he have to worry? And that's part of that training. Because once you are in that, I remember they are trying to sell my father, they call it British American Insurance Company for life insurance. He looks at them like, I will buy it, but I don't need it because my life insurance is the one who sent me. But if you say, well, if I buy it, if I kaput, then the money will go to, you know, he's trying to humor the salesperson because they don't understand how people who are in that spiritual thing lives. And this is what this dialogue is about. Ask and you shall receive. Did you hear of John the Baptist having money? Or Elijah? Even Moses doesn't have money. Didn't he raise the thing and manna fell from heaven? Did he have a manufacturing plant to give the people of Israel the food? No. And that's what they're asking of us. It has always been like that from the eons, from when the universe is created. And once we realize that, it will work the same for us. Let's continue this conversation. Then imagine whatever they will, and their prayer will not be denied. Does asking for more money push you away? This is us asking God. Nothing can push me away. However, money concerns often draws one's attention outwardly, temporarily. So they become divided in their mind, not in God's mind. One need not suffer. Yet they invariably do when living in the future mind with all the possibilities of what might happen. That's what gets us. And probably during the course of this, then we will talk about how the church as an organization, they decided to use what Jesus promised Peter to control people, to talk, to create that guilt. If God is saying nothing can push me away, and they are saying if you don't do this morally, you are going to hell. And only the church can give you absolution of, you know, sins and all of that. Who needs the church to do that when you have that directly? Isn't that why Jesus came? And that's why they kaput him, because he's telling the chief, nobody needs you. God is with everyone. We just need to realize that. One need not suffer, yet they invariably do when living in the future mind, with all the possibilities of what might happen. But we do need money, right? Not necessarily. God telling you, is having money an obstacle to enlightenment? How could anything be an obstacle to enlightenment? When enlightenment contains all that is, enlightenment is just self-realization. When you realize you are one with the I am, that infinite. So how can anything ever prevent one from being themselves, that big self? Are you not always yourself? That spirit dwells in you. You are always, whether you understand it or not, the self doesn't go away. It is God in you. Yes, now we're saying yes. So making money or having money is good. Certainly. Where do you suppose it comes from? You? Precisely. All comes from me. That's God telling you that. Also, it is a wise distinction you made between making money and having money. In fact, there is a third additional component, perhaps the most significant of all, spending money. Really? Why is that? Making money is no big deal. That's Spirit telling you that. And hoarding money only creates a false sense of security. Can you imagine? Well, some banks have gone belly up, right? Imagine somebody who put their money, and they will tell you they only insured up to one, you know. So that bank goes up kaput. Then what happens? You know, where's the security? Even crypto can go kaput. You trust your financial advisor, he embezzles your money. What are you going to do? We saw what was in Barney, what was the guy who embezzled billions of people's money, and even one of them, a Frenchman, killed himself because they put their trust. God says, making money is no big deal. And hoarding money only creates a false sense of security. Yet, spending money is creative. It generates opportunity and experience. Each time that you spend money, you have generated an opportunity for someone to earn it, and therefore you have also helped them to serve and thereby become prosperous. I remember when Spirit first told me that, I said, huh. Okay, I get it. You can imagine if you and I doesn't go to New Season or Whole Foods or Albertson or Safeway. So what's going to happen there? There'll be no employees. The people who have plant, who are supplying, they won't be able to. So there's a whole thing around that. You might say, oh, you spend one penny goes a long way. You imagine if you are not sick. Those doctors won't earn salary. They won't be able to support themselves. So God has to balance it up. We will continue this conversation because none of us wants to get sick. None of us wants to, but you know, Spirit is telling us. So money really is good? Spirit said, understand, nothing is good or bad. Yet to one who thinks something is such, then it is so for them. For instance, you can spend money on making beautiful music or weapons. You decide. The key is to not hoard the money. A depressed economic situation is the result of people competing and hoarding, which stagnates creativity and life. But Andy Banks basically criminal. We're asking God that. Why? For having what someone else desires, God puts it back at you. Well, not just that. Nothing is evil at its core. All is what you think it is. Didn't we just talk in our Bible study where Jesus said, or was it, where is the thing where Jesus said, look, all of these things will happen. You know, that the word that he's prophesying, because this is God speaking it through me. Earth and heaven might disappear, but this will happen. So stop carrying the world's problem on your shoulder. And to us, we see all this and we say, oh, this is evil, this is bad. Spirit is telling you, for an enlightened mind, they see the play. I mean, to me, I'm happy somebody just, well, I won't say names. Like, at least that's one less evil doer in this world, or, you know, just killing people, you know. But of course, the moment I thought of that, I said, Lord, well, please forgive me. Because that person is also your child. Somebody has to do the evil thing in order to balance things out. I mean, if Satan is not God's property, then there is no God. Whatever Satan is doing, he has the blessings of God, you know, until God say, okay, knock it off. Didn't God tell him to knock it off with Job? Like, okay, I'll let you do this, but after that, that's it. Then go play, go do something else. Nothing is evil at its core, says the Spirit. All is what you think it is. So it is all upon you. Can you imagine having to write IOUs for everyone you exchange goods and services with? Be grateful for banks and all those who know how to generate wealth. For they are models of prosperity for whoever stops resenting and envy them long enough to emulate them or assimilate their vibration. That's why you can't be jealous of anything. You can't condemn. That makes sense. Yes, you are realizing that all is not what it seems. And this is good because learning is good. Soon, all we realize that they do not know anything. All of us will realize that we do not know anything based on their past conditioning. That's what is, you know, that's why you can't even say your ancestors are, you know, because sometimes based on their own thing, then they pass it down. And this is what happened about the world of guilt. And they use scriptures and all of them. Because then we are claiming someone in the old Hebrew ways that they are wiser. We're still using their standard. But now, those of us who are living now, are we wise enough to be? So imagine 100 generations from now, they are still trying to use our standard. When some of us are definitely foolish and stupid in what we do, and they say that's this gold standard. Yes, you are realizing that all is not what it seems. And this is good because learning is good. Soon all will realize that they do not know anything based on their past conditioning, and that all is perfectly in alignment with my will. That is God's will. I remember Yogananda saying, you invite God's will to strengthen your own little will, then things will be right with you. But if you depend on your own little will, well, you quickly find out what we have. What about greed? This is us asking. And if you guys think I'm making this up, sometimes this is how conversation goes on in spirit. I've experienced it several times. You never know when you would. And then they say, ask. And then you, sometimes when they say ask, you don't even, you can't remember what to ask. Would you come down? But then the moment they are gone, oh, I should remember this. But when it flows from that meditation, oh, you'll be sitting there for 5 hours. You won't even know time has passed. And don't you think it's a waste of time or you imagining it? Because that is the divinity in you having a serious conversation with you. And you learn quickly from that. What about greed? Then Spirit said, who's greed? The world. The world's greed. Yeah, the world is just a projection of one's own mind. What about institutions that print our money without gold to back it up? This guy must really be focused on, I think finally Spirit said, okay, I'm going to just clear this thing about, because all of us, one way or the other, money, you know, things happen. What difference does it make whether money is backed by gold or paper? This is Spirit talking. This common belief is based on the concept that gold is somehow more valuable than paper. Yeah, paper comes from trees, which sustain human life. Thus, what could be more valuable than paper? Do we understand where Spirit is going with this? What about the devaluation of money? Money is only as valuable as one agrees it is. Why not simply give everyone millions of dollars like the game Monopoly says, and be done with the facade of money being only for those of prestige or the select few? That is the illusion. Well, when we are playing Monopoly, doesn't the money we use there valuable? But now let's take it to the grocery store. We call the cops on that one day. Who cares how much a dollar, pound, or yen is worth? If people don't agree to it, the suffering and confusion surrounding money has only to do with the value that one agrees to place on it. Isn't that why a lot of people are not into cryptocurrency yet and Bitcoin? Because they don't trust, they're not going to put the value on. But because they are used to paper dollar, they value that. The problem for some is they believe they do not have enough. And so they place excessive value on it. Thus, fear and lack surrounds its very idea. This fear leads to worshipping money, just as one's fear of God leads them to worship God. The basic obstacle here is, as long as one is worshipping anything, let us emphasize that. This is Spirit said, as long as one is worshipping anything, they become blind to what it really is. This might sound surprise to some, but you might also have heard about it. God didn't want us to worship Him. God wants us to be a, you know, like a friend. Do you worship your friend? No. You just enjoy their company. Worshiping tend to put that distance, that higher. And that. No. When you say, I am. I'm with you always. What is it you need? So why do you need to worship? You just be yourself. Let me repeat that. The basic obstacle here is, as long as one is worshiping anything, they become blind to what it really is. For instance, one's worship of God prevents them from realizing that all is God. And we say, how ironic. Indeed, it is the great irony of life What about the powers that be and their lust for more power? Why would one care if someone else has power? This spirit telling you, unless they desire that power. What do you care if that one has power and you've lost it? If you don't desire it because you know that power can affect you, you think all these people all over this world with the power they have, how is it affecting God? And that's the only power. And if you say it's done, all the power they think they have, kaput. Then we say, I don't know. Let me repeat. Why would one care if someone else has power unless they desire that power? Why would you care if someone has money unless you desire money? Why would you care if someone has a beautiful home unless you desire? Why would you care if they are CEO or they can sing unless you desire that? It goes on and on. Why would you care if someone has a child unless you desire to have a child? I don't know, maybe they don't want anyone controlling them. No one can ever control someone else without their permission. Remember, there are no victims. This is like someone complaining every day by not getting paid enough at their job and staying with that same company for 40 years. If they don't like it, they can leave. The earth is a vast stage with unlimited opportunities for creative expression. To get out of one's self-imposed prison, one should give attention only to what they want and are passionate about, and never to what they don't want. This will pave the way for one's blissful life. And that is a catch there for us. Because we are so in fear, we ignore that which is us, which we really want, and we stay with that which we don't really want. Sometimes I wonder, but I'm not going to say what is in my head. How does one discover their idyllic life? Small moves are the way. One step at a time, small moves are the way. Gradual transition allows for learning a skill and sustenance. Yet most people believe they are mortal and live as though they are attempting to beat the clock, not remembering that they are immortal. I want to emphasize on that. That's how the saints live. They look forward to when they will go, but because they know they are not going to die, it's going to be easy life. So they just know, okay, it's a transition. And that's why, didn't we hear a story that happened in ancient India where during the British, they came and cut off this saint's arm. You think he was crying, oh my God, I'm going to die. He still continued to go about it. And then took his hand and put it back. And the one who got there had to run and ask for forgiveness. Because they know, they are immortal. Nothing can kill them. And when they know that, so they are not worried about this physical body. When it serves this purpose, it's going to kaput. You used to move on. You don't worry about your old rags, do you? No, you throw it in the trash. Even I know someone who throws something in the trash, even if they are not old yet, because they are just done with it. They just don't see it. With self-realization, one attains the presence to see clearly enough to set their sails properly, to guide your way. Many, however, are running to and from what they are desiring, not knowing which path to take in life. Instead, one should turn within to me, that God is saying, to me, inside you, their true self, and I will guide them. How can one get started on the path of self-realization? For one, maximize efficiency in all areas of life. Even temporary removal of the extravagant factors from life. When one simplifies life, they come to recognize they are already capable of living prosperously. However, most have become lost in the maze of more, better, and different, while playing the game of one-upmanship. Discover your passion. It will be that which serves humanity and is also something that you will willingly do without compensation if necessary. Then you will find this world to be a very hospitable and prosperous place. Is it true that the earth is running out of food and water? Spirit said, the earth is quite capable of meeting all of your food requirements. Besides, the earth is not actually your supply. I am. Do we get this? Because we put priorities on things that just doesn't even, you know. Money often obscures necessity, and people often focus on money rather than what brings them freedom and joy, missing the opportunity to experience what they desire. But some people do what interests them, says this person. Yes, God says, and you will notice the light in their eyes and their passion for life. They are not slaves to money. Yet they still use money, and some of them are even wealthy. So we ask, yes, yet they do not live for the money. Their conscious intention to express creatively has drawn them the means to live freely and give back to the whole existence. Hence, I supply them. And if people think God is just running God's mouth here, well, it's true. Some of the people we know now who are among the most wealthy, they weren't doing it for money. When Bill Gates started Microsoft, no, it's the idea. He wasn't even thinking. And that's why Bill Gates' father was surprised when he became the richest guy. He said, I can't believe it. He just curious. That passion in him. Where Jeff Bezos, he wasn't thinking of money, you know. So when we look at some of these things, when that creativity is there, when you are doing something that is your passion, the true ministers that I know, they don't do it for money. I mean, there are those who are called, there are those who are chosen. So go figure. And this is what Spirit is saying. You do something that self already is in you. Isn't that why they say, seek God with all you have, and then the rest will follow. Live freely and give back to the whole existence. Hence, I supply them. Yeah, with money. He still say, this guy is so focused. Yeah, with money. Observe an artist who compromises their passion for what sells more. Records, books, movies, or paintings. You will sense an immediate change in the feeling of their artistic expression. Because as they become focused on making more money, fear expresses all over the canvas. You can even hear it in their voice and the lyrics of a song they sing. What are those famous painters, artists, who even during their lifetime, they were poor. Now people are paying millions and millions for their, you know. That's said, artists cannot be good money managers because they are focused on their art. They need somebody to help them manage the other aspect of it. Okay, I've noticed that. And this is where he said, money is not wrong. For nothing is wrong, yet in order to be free of the dependency on money, one must change their belief system surrounding it. How does one change their money beliefs? First, look at your own conditioning. Many movies portray wealthy people as evil. And this is only one of the influences affecting people's concept about money. Since all people are inherently loving and good, this has created confusion. Namely, that if one does become wealthy, they cannot remain good. The inner conflict between wanting to be both wealthy and good generates inner turmoil, which manifests as resentment towards people who have money. I've had people say that, thank God I don't have money. I say, You've just put a cross on yourself. I bet you if you're in that person's shoes, you will be happy instead of you striving to be the best you can. Just because they have money doesn't mean they are evil. Just because someone is pretty doesn't mean they don't have morals. You know, it goes on and on. And just because someone is a minister doesn't mean they don't have weaknesses and shortcomings. That's why people get disappointed when their minister, you know, falls short. They forget he's a human being. They forget celebrities are human. They hurt just like anyone. So we should stop putting this thing, because of our conditioning, out there into the universe. And then we wonder why our universe is so messed up within us. The inner conflict between wanting to be both wealthy and good generates inner turmoil, which manifests as resentment towards people who have money. This prevents one from ever being relative to those that know how to draw wealth to them. Many people have concepts about money that prevent them from escaping poverty consciousness. Yet, it is only this concept that prevents them from experiencing what money actually represents. Why? What does money represent? Freedom and convenience. What if someone doesn't have enough money to do what they want? The less one focuses on making money, the less dissipated their attention is. And the more creative they are, then they will attract even greater prosperity. This is the law of attraction. We also call it the law of correspondence. It's a mirror. If you think good, you will continue. It might not show up immediately, but you will continue to attract good because they start looking for the same, you know, birds of the same feather flock together. But if you are so filled with all these things, negativity, then you wonder why things are happening. I've seen people, all of a sudden, they started breaking things. They would cut their hands, they break things, they will have an accident. I mean, and then they say, they don't, it's like, Spirit said, and they pointed out to them, this is the, what began that, your thought form. It will attract other things. So you switch that, then it's okay. And then if you hang out with people who have those kind of thought forms, then, you know, then things like that will be attracted to you until you shake it off. So should we get rid of money totally like the sages, Jesus, Buddha, and Ramana Maharshi? They didn't even use money. You don't know that for certainty. It is nevertheless irrelevant because they lived in societies that were based on money. Whether one uses money personally or they depend on other people who do, there is no difference. What is necessary is to establish harmony within your own mind regarding money. Recognize your intention for having it. That's why they say, if you want your prayer to be answered, if you are participating in the length or in retreats and all of that, you better be very clear about your intention. Why are you fasting? Why are you in the length? If it's just to deny yourself food and you think that is it, then you don't have to, you know, you can just do that on your own. You don't have to say it's Lent. But Lent is about bringing your whole self, we don't mean half of yourself, to God, to have that relationship again, to rekindle it, whatever it may be. And if fasting helps you along the way, yes, because then that's less distraction. Although when you get hungry and thirsty, that creates another distraction. Whether one uses money personally or they depend on other people who do, there is no difference. What is necessary is to establish harmony within your own mind regarding money. Recognize your intention for having it. For instance, it is one thing to earn money so one may enjoy experiencing desires. And it is quite another to hoard it in response to a competitive urge to feel superior to others. Yet there will still be some comfort in knowing that one has millions of dollars, this is the person talking about, in their bank account. It will also give them a sense of freedom to be able to do whatever they want. And Spirit said, yes, the freedom to be, do, and have things will suddenly be there. Yeah, with this type of freedom often comes the fear. What if I lose it all? Or what if the banks all close their doors again? Whenever one develops an attachment to something, no matter what it is, they live in fear. Therefore, if one's freedom is based on money, they cannot recognize true security or prosperity. I can see that, says the person. So what is true prosperity? True prosperity, it is living moment to moment. Knowing that one can be, do, and have whatever they desire, even without money. It is knowing that one is not in danger of ever running out of what they need, even if they do not use money. What about desires? I mean, someone may not necessarily need to travel to Europe or Africa or have a sports car, but they still might desire to. Then one should ask, and it shall be given them. But what if they don't need these things? If one desires these things, then they are needing them to complete the picture of reality they are wanting to fulfill, which is my will. This is God saying. So need and desire are the same thing? Not always. Yet in this particular context, they are. What will they be? When will they be different? What type of desire constitutes a need? A personal desire that focuses on feeling superior or feeling superior to or separate from others. For instance, wanting to go to Europe and stay in a German castle so one could post selfies and boast to others about how they were able to stay somewhere exclusive and others were not. Or buying an expensive sports car just so one can feel special by waving their wealth around like an award, making them appear superior to those that have not yet discovered how to acquire wealth. Whenever one does something in response to the other, that is the key now, no matter how subtle, they will feel separate. In that moment, they are not. Being a creative expression of joy, this emphasizes on feeling superior or greater than others is the true meaning of sin, S-I-N. I never, you know, that's why they say in the scriptures, one of the greatest things that God hates is pride. You puff yourself. That's why God says, I am the will, you are not. I am the I am. Because without my will, you don't have a will. Without me, you don't have anything. That's why it always puzzles me when people fight about land and all of that, you know, boundaries. Did any of them create it? No. And yet we claim it. This emphasis on feeling superior or greater than others is the true meaning of sin and therefore the cause of suffering. So desire is not wrong. In fact, it is beautiful when one's motive is enjoyment. Yet this can be the case if they are attempting to keep others. Yet this cannot be the case if they are attempting to keep others feeling inferior by the fulfillment of their own desires. Okay, so what exactly is happening with the economy? I have raised the bar, says the Spirit, requiring all to do what they are most passionate about by utilizing their full creative potential. This, or life, will become progressively more difficult and uncomfortable. There ends the conversation. So do we understand what Spirit has said here? Because that conversation leads us to realizing who we are. This is all about self-realization. I'm confused about the ask and you shall receive thing. Well, Spirit now has explained to us. I hope this establishes itself in our consciousness and we can practice this. Amen.